What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here from the This Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, well, we're going to be talking about all of the big announcements that came up over the weekend at the Destination D event, which took place in Orlando. It was Mickey Mouse's 90th anniversary. He had this event. Disney were going in hard. They were announcing stuff left, right, and center. The thing is, lots of little things. Nothing, I would say, groundbreaking, but lots and lots and lots of little different things. We've got a new parade coming to Disneyland. We've got a new nighttime show. I think it's Mickey's Magic coming to Disneyland. They announced Reflections is the name of one of the new DVC resorts. They announced a new nighttime spectacular coming to Epcot in, I think, 2020. They also announced a new temporary nighttime show coming to Epcot. They announced a name for the Ratatouille ride, which means Remini's Adventure or something. They've announced a Beauty and the Beast sing-along for France for Epcot. They've, it's just been like one thing after another, you know, cruise lines getting new outfits, you know.
The gondola from the Skyline.
Yeah, they've kind of showed off the gondola and showed off that. What that's. Some of these were very, very light on it. They announced a new film for Canada for Epcot. Lots of things. Some of them got a lot more attention than other ones. There's been a bit of a pushback, I think, on some of the Epcot stuff, but we'll go into that in a minute. But just tons and tons of little ones. I think it was a good weekend for them to do that. I think Mickey Mouse's, and also just doing it at the Destination D event, because this week they had another expo at the beginning of the week. And so they let out a few bits and pieces of information, like the gondolas and stuff there, and about the resorts and stuff. But they did hold a lot of it back for that Destination D event. And obviously, being in Walt Disney World, that was where they had all these little... There wasn't anything groundbreaking there, but there was another big article on the New York Times, and they were going through all the money that they were expending on the parks in all the different... around the world. There was a little thing there. There was some concept art of the Spider-Man ride, but that then got pulled out. There was also talks of the Hollywood Studios... Aerosmith roller coaster getting an overlay. That was incorrect. That got pulled out the story because obviously they're doing that in Paris. They're turning it into an Iron Man, right? So there might have been a bit of confusion over what was going on there. But yeah, just a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And like you said, nothing massively earth shattering, just little things that add up. And this was the way to do it. Just announce them all at once, get it out into a crowd. Yeah, no one's going to get super, super excited about revealing the gondola or the name of the new DVC resorts or whatever. But if you put them all into one big event, you can at least go, hey, look, there's a ton of stuff coming. Lots of things on the horizon and all over the world.
So. Yeah, and I mean, I kind of forgot a major kind of one here. The Star Wars Galaxy Edge stuff. They announced the two ride names, Millennium Falcon's Smuggler's Run and Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Little trailers gave off a little bit of information about the hotel that's going to be pods taking you through. And John Williams is doing some of the music for the area. So lots and bits and pieces coming in there for the Star Wars side as well.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I ignored those completely because I kind of want to go into those rides knowing as little as possible. I did see bits and pieces, though, and of course I am super excited for those. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to justify doing the hotel experience at some point because that's going to be wicked expensive.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be like, I'll be probably doing about 2029 by the time I get around to doing it because I won't be able to afford to get in there. But some other things as well, they announced that Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which is the new attraction in the Hollywood Studios, that's opening up in fall. There's also going to be a new nighttime show at the Hollywood Studios as well, incorporating Mickey Mouse. We've got the big celebration at Walt Disney World coming up, but they are putting tons of stuff into this place. There's a lot of people kind of talking about how there's a lot of IP going in, especially into Epcot. There was a lot of people not happy with the nighttime show because you could see Moana and Manuel from Coco, and it's going to feature music from Disney. I think there's this kind of thing with Epcot. A lot of the diehard fans don't like anything changing in Epcot. They don't like IPs. IPs are coming smashing into Epcot. You know, you've got the Frozen ride, you've got the Ratatouille ride, you've got the new Beauty and the Beast show. And now you're going to have the Illuminations has been running for so long. What, sitting there and watching it earlier this year, it doesn't have the impact anymore. And it was like earlier this year, walking around Epcot with a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old, I saw Epcot in a different light. I love Epcot. I love the World Showcase. Me and my wife went back there and loved going around there. But I can see how the new generation and the kids coming up underneath, Epcot's dull for them. And I can see why Disney are looking at going, we need to put stuff in there. We've got all this empty space, or we've got space for stuff. We need to put money into Epcot, and we can't just leave it as it is.
Yeah, and it's not even just this generation. I remember as a kid, I think we went to Disney, I don't know, it was like 10 or 11 or whatever, and I was bored out of my mind at Epcot. I thought it was the lamest part there when I was a kid. It wasn't until I got older. I think we talked about this in the past. It wasn't until I got older where I got to appreciate it. And this actually is one of my favorites of the parks. But even with that, it's normally because of Soarin' or Test Track or one of those rides. And I will go on the World Showcase rides. I love going on the World Showcase rides, especially the Mexican one with the birds.
Yeah.
And Donald. Three Caballeros. But but you can tell that there are more rides that you do kind of like, oh, it's kind of, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's really hot in Florida. Let's just go do a nice relaxing ride real fast. Just kind of have some people sing to us and just have a little fun. They're not serious rides. Even when they remade the Frozen ride a couple years ago and, you know, people flipped out about that, of course, that's not a thrill ride. Sure, you go backwards for part of it, but you know, it's just a reskin of the Maelstrom, and the Maelstrom was not a thrill ride. So,
no, it's definitely, I mean, you've also got the Guardians of the Galaxy being built there at the minute. They showed off the new vehicle for that. Didn't really surprise me too much what it was, because it's kind of like a big vehicle that lots of people are in. That's going to be a massive building. Apparently, you can fit tons of spaceship Earps in there. I've seen some of the footage of what they're building there. It's massive. Epcot is getting an overhaul. It's no longer this icon of what Disney wanted to build 40 years ago. It has to evolve into being a new park. And it's like, when I was having a discussion on the Discord with some people yesterday about Epcot, you know, this thing about IPs and bringing IPs into Epcot. It's a lot easier to sell an attraction to a company or to people. You know, when they're looking through the book and you see an attraction that says Beauty and the Beast Sing Along, that says what that is rather than, oh, Canada. You know, Beauty and the Beast Sing Along instantly is like, oh, there's stuff to do here. Canada and, you know, the Chinese show don't equal the same when people see Beauty and the Beast and Ratatouille. It's also the thing about merchandise. You can sell a lot more Beauty and the Beast merchandise in a shop outside the shop, outside the show, than you can Canada merchandise based on a, you know, and it's just that kind of thing, really.
Yeah, and I think something that a lot of people don't factor is, and even in 1982, when Epcot opened up, Disney IPs weren't what they are today. You know, a lot of the movies were recognizable, of course, Snow White, Cinderella, you know, all the old classics, the Disney princess movies, but they weren't IPs as we think about them today. They, you know, and most of them already existed at other parks. You know, you had the storytelling for Snow White and, you know, the Peter Pan ride. Nowadays, you've got, you know, the Pixar stuff, you got the Marvel stuff, you got the Star Wars stuff, you've got the Disney things that have evolved into these huge markets unto themselves. Like, any of them could just be split off from Disney and be successful on their own. So, yeah, it makes sense for them now to really go into it and be, all right, we've got all these IPs. We don't have enough space to stick them in the other parks. Epcot. We're going to start lifting you up. And I mean, it was that way at Disney World too, or Disneyland, both of them. You know, back when they opened, it was all new stuff, you know, stuff that Walt wanted, you know, the Jungle Cruise and stuff that weren't attached to IPs. But since then.
Like, if he'd done Disneyland 10 years later, would those rides have existed? Because he'd have had some more IPs. I feel like he would have created the Haunted Mansion and Tiki Room and. But because he didn't have enough, so he had to create new ones to fit it, you know.
Right.
Whereas now, if you were designing them, they would do it. But I also feel Epcot was always a non-Disney place. It wasn't filled with characters. It isn't big. But the Disney audience now are going to Disney wanting Disney. And, you know, all the character meet and greets, all the different rides, etc. You know, it makes more sense to have them themed to stuff. And it just sells better. It sells on so many different levels. So all these announcements, it's like the new nighttime show. I think a nighttime show featuring music from around the world, from the different things, it makes sense. You know, sitting there taking the kids to go and watch Illuminations, they were a lot more excited about the one in front of the castle. It's just the way it is, and families are different. You know, families are looking for those kind of nighttime shows.
I agree. Keeping in mind, I do like the Illumination shows, but I am willing to acknowledge that that's mostly based on nostalgia and the fact that, you know, I've kind of seen that show so many times that I just appreciate it. But they do need a new one. And I think that including the songs is a good idea, because you go to, say, Fantasmic over at Hollywood Studios or Disneyland, and they've got the songs, and you can hear people singing along with the songs. And even if they're not, you can see them kind of bobbing along. This is another way that Disney has expanded. Yes, there have always been iconic Disney songs, you know, Wish Upon a Star and You Can Fly and stuff like that. But since then, since, let's say, Little Mermaid, give or take, the number of recognizable Disney songs that people know has just expanded so massively. And you've got this huge catalog of songs that people in the parks will know. And having them there, it's not a cheap trick. It's an acknowledgement of people loving these movies and these songs. And maybe having heard Let It Go 30,000 times or whatever, when you're at Disney, it's still okay.
I do think the other thing as well is you got to look at the World Showcase, and it's going to be on. If you do songs from Coco for Mexico, Frozen for Norway, some songs from Mulan for China, you're then going to have Mary Poppins from England. You can then have, you know, The Lion King from Africa. You can have, you know, Big Hero 6 from Japan. You know, you can bring one of those characters from those countries. You know, Beauty and the Beast from France, Canada. I think there might be something from Brother Bear
Yeah, I'd say Brother Bear.
You know, that's the way I think they should play it, and I'm hoping that's what they're going to do. Moana kind of fits in because it's about traveling and, you know, Polynesia. I think if they do that like that, it'll work. I would prefer they do that than do Pinocchio and Cinderella. It's like, no, leave that in the Magic Kingdom. Do the newer stuff. Do the set it to the country. And I'm hoping that's where they go in this direction with this show. So I think that's definitely, they've also got this other show, which is going to be like a look back. It's almost like a waving goodbye to like the old Epcot of their old music. They're going to do a celebration of their old stuff, which I think makes sense. I think they're basically acknowledging the fact of Epcot is about to change. I still think the World Showcase is going to stay, but they're going to be strapping attractions to each one as we go forward to build out that World Showcase. So, you know, when you go, it wouldn't surprise, you know, that's the kind of way I think they're going to go with this.
I mean, they've already started. We already talked about Mexico, which has Donald Duck and the birds, Frozen in Norway. We know Mary Poppins is probably going to show up in, oh no, we do know she is going to show up in England. You've got the Beauty and the Beast thing in France. That leaves only a couple of other areas. Mulan does appear, but there's no ride attached to her, stuff like that. But yeah, it's going to happen. But even so, even with these changes, including with the night show and all that stuff, a lot of the rides there are still generic. They're not themed. You know, you've got Mission Space, you've got Planet, I forget what it's called, but the Earth, the globe, yeah. The giant globe one. You know, Soarin', yes, you begin and end at Disney, but it's still kind of generic. We're going to travel across the world. Test Track has nothing to do with Disney. It's just cars, which is still cool, but there's still, Epcot is still that place where they can kind of throw in the non-IP stuff. But I would not be surprised if within the next 10 or 15 years, we start to see even those rides start kind of cycling over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting Figment to be turned into Inside Out. I'm expecting, you know, you know, we've obviously seen the sea ones already turn to them Finding Nemo. I think this is just a natural progression of what they're going to be doing. But there were some other bits and pieces where, like, we had, like, the gondola. We saw a bit more of that. There was the thing that they have got air conditioning. I know that was a bit of a thing going on about people not wanting the air conditioning. They look cool. They look fine. I think they're a cool little idea. I think it's a way of getting people around the parks, ways of making a connection to the two parks, from those resorts. It's a way of getting people off the road, getting people off the buses. It's a lot cheaper than a monorail. I think they're cool. I mean, we did an episode on this last year, I think it was, when they got announced, or earlier this year. I've been in them. I always love going in these little vehicles. I would do it. I know my wife was terrified of it. We were looking at some going to Hong Kong, and there were some ones with these, and my wife's like, oh, I don't like the look of that. But for me, this looks great. They look great. They look cool. I can't really say I'm excited about it, because, you know, it's basically transportation between a resort and a park. I'd rather they do this and just keep buying more buses and putting minivans in. This is at least something. I know people are like, oh, put a monorail in. The monorail are falling to pieces. A door fell off last week. You know, please, you know, please stand clear of the doors, because they're going about to hit your head. You know, it's just strange.
I admit I am actually fairly excited for the gondolas. I was at Busch Gardens actually about a month ago, and they've got gondolas in their park. This is the one in Virginia. Yeah. And they go just from different parts of the park, but they're just kind of, one, relaxing, so long as you're not afraid of heights, and two, they give you a view that you don't get to see in other situations. You know, you get to see the park from the air, you get to see a view of the area around the park, which is actually kind of cool in Florida, because you're just far enough outside of the cities that you get a kind of a more foresty view. And especially at night, when it's kind of dark out and they got the lights all lit up, and maybe if you time it just right, you can see some of the fireworks from the gondola. That's pretty cool. Yeah, like you said, it's not like, oh, I've got to be there the day they come out and I'm going to stand in line for 6 hours to get on the gondola. No, but when they come out, it will definitely be a transportation option that I will be using, if only just to be like, I want an aerial view of the parks kind of deal. So,
and I think this is stage one. I think this is stage one of the network. I think this is because it's a lot cheaper to put in. If this goes well and they try it for maybe a year or two, I would not be surprised if they've got other extensions in line to get people from the resorts, because it's a selling point of the resorts as well. And, you know, this is something that they can keep adding to. And it's going to be cables going in every which direction. It's that thing of how you get, you know, it's like getting to the transportation center to get to Hollywood Studios or Epcot. Great, but it's like getting to Animal Kingdom, you know, getting to the Magic Kingdom. You know, they need to start relieving people getting to it by buses and cars and stuff. And this is a good way, and it's continuous. It's those, you know, every 10 seconds they're gonna, or 20 seconds, they're gonna be loading these people up and sending them on the way. You know, it's not like a bus where you've got to wait for it. They will be running continuously, and that means the queues will just keep moving, rather than waiting for a boat to turn up and getting everybody on it. I think this is going to be something you're going to just see so many gondolas all over the place in about 20 years time.
Yeah. And I am all for them getting alternative transportation, especially at Magic Kingdom. Cause when Magic Kingdom closes, it is just a giant train wreck of people, hopefully not literally, but people going to the ferries to get to the parking lot. Those are full up. Get going to the monorail. This is why the last couple of times I've gone, I've either shelled out a little bit extra to get one of the nicer hotels that have direct access to the park, or I've stayed with my friend who's a DVC member at the Boulder Lodge, I think it is, or the Wilderness Lodge, sorry, which has its own boat that just goes between the Magic Kingdom and the lodge, because it is so much easier not dealing with that massive pack of people. And yeah, that's a premium service, but hopefully if the gondolas make it over to the Magic Kingdom, that will be one other thing taking the stress off of the other transportation options.
But yeah, I'm expecting a lot. There was lots of other bits announced, but we'd love to know what you guys think of all the ones. Like I say, we got this new information on the Star Wars. I was a little bit like, okay, we just got the names and we got John Williams. And they, it was a lot of, like, here's pictures of Star Wars stuff to make you recognize, but didn't really give you any info. It was a little bit generic, but at least we got the names of the rides now, so that's always cool.
Yeah, now we got the names of the rides, we got the names of the hotels, we've got some opening dates for some of the hotels that are farther, yeah. Well, rough dates, you know. There was a lot of stuff, and yeah, I mean, some people are going to be salty about Epcot changing. Hollywood Studios, of course, I think was the other one that's getting a different nighttime show.
Yeah,
stuff like that. People will always be a bit upset with changes at the parks. That's, you know, it's give and take. But on the whole, I think that these were good announcements. I think that they announced a lot of very positive things here. I wish they had announced more about hotel plans for Disneyland, especially since they had that canceled one. But I'm sure they're still just working that out, so they have nothing yet to say. But
I'll be honest, those two hotels that they've built at the building, the Reflections and I can't think of what the other one was called now. These two, the DVC ones, they look very generic. They look very Disney. Whereas they're pushing as much IP into the parks, they do seem to be taking as much IP out of the parks as possible.
Well, I would say we're talking about exterior here.
Yeah.
Like, and if you look at the hotels in general, just the ones they already have open, most of them don't have a Disney flair except for the various, the Art of Animation and then the
Riviera
All-Star and movie and
Art
and
of music. Animation, yeah.
But even those, they're more movie-centric or generic pop culture rather than Disney. But then when you get inside of them, it's a very different matter. Like the Wilderness Lodge, if you're in the hotel there, you know, they've got a pull-down bed for part of it, and the pull-down part will either be a scene from Bambi or The Lion King. A lot of the trim will, you know, Mickey ears and stuff like that. So the outside is very it's a hotel. Inside, it's very, very Disney. And I expect that will be the same on the new ones as well.
Yeah. But, yeah, the Riviera Resort is the one that is the other DVC name, which is, yeah, it's fine. I mean, Riviera doesn't, you know, I live in a place which we call it the Riviera. It doesn't really mean a lot to me. But it's just lots of different stuff. But we'll have to know what you guys are thinking. What do you think was the one that stood out, and which one is it the ones that you didn't like? Let us know in the comments below or on social media. Remember to go check us out over at DizKingdom.com. Remember, you can also go check out our other website, whatsondisneyplus.com, brand new one that we're launching all about Disney Plus. And we've also got a podcast up about that this week as well. So, James, where can they find you?
Find me, heroiclegacy.com.
On that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.